Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with the perspective and tools to grow and change. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, listening to podcasts while I walk or work out or drive has become a part of my life. And as I reflect back over the years at the accumulated good and perspective and knowledge that I've gained by listening to uplifting podcasts, I'm amazed. They have been a source of strength in my life. Perhaps you're the same. You find that podcasts can fill your days and drives with more hope and knowledge and good. So hopefully today, this podcast, Open Your Eyes, can do the same and give you a new perspective and tools that you can use to think and live better. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about giving the benefit of the doubt. It's probably happened to you. You walk away from a meeting or discussion with other people, and you second guess what you said or did. You think about something that someone else said that didn't seem particularly positive, or some other doubt begins to eat away at your thoughts, and you start to fret or worry about whether people think negatively about you. Or a stranger starts talking to you at an event, and in this moment, you're not nearly as clever or charming as you'd hope to be, and you walk away thinking, they totally thought I was an idiot. In fact, research shows that we have the prevailing bias that people do view us negatively. But that same research shows that people generally don't view us this way. A recent article calls this phenomenon as the liking gap. People consistently tend to like you better than you think they do. All sorts of other gaps, or social prediction errors, as experts call them, govern our social lives, and we consistently underestimate everything from people's empathy towards us to how much they're willing to help us. In other words, people give us the benefit of the doubt more often than not. You know, this pessimistic view about others' attitudes towards us has its consequences, like undercutting our own willingness to venture out or talk to people or connect with others. And if you hold a prevailing view that people think negatively of you, just think how that changes how you act and communicate. You may be building a business and giving people the benefit of the doubt that they may, in fact, view you or your business or your proposition positively, can and does make a difference in terms of how often you try and how they eventually respond to you. One of the most famous research studies is called the Drop the Wallet Study. It has been done in over 40 countries with over 17,000 lost wallets containing various sums of money. Here's what the research shows. Lost wallets are returned much more than people think. In fact, in virtually all countries, people were more likely to return wallets the more money they contained, a result virtually no one predicted. This means that we should give people the benefit of the doubt. It's interesting how our own behavior changes when we don't give people the benefit of the doubt. As a team leader, when you don't give someone the benefit of the doubt, you're more likely to exclude them or at least give their comments less weight. In turn, they can feel the lack of support coming from you, and it all starts with not giving the benefit of the doubt. If we don't think someone will appreciate a compliment, then we don't give it. If we don't think a friend will be happy to hear from us, we won't reach out. If we don't think a prospect will like our product, we don't invite them to hear about the product in an overview. If you don't trust someone will be tender with you, you won't get vulnerable with them, and you'll just stay at the surface level. It really does become a self-fulfilling prophecy, one research wrote. If you don't think someone will help you, you'll behave in a way that signals that you don't expect kindness from them, and then they really won't help or be kind. And you would be surprised at how much better life becomes when you give people the benefit of the doubt. You do feel different inside. You interact more positively, you care more, and many other things. A few years ago, during a review cycle at Amazon Web Services, an engineer on one of the infrastructure teams failed to deliver a required update by the agreed deadline. The miss caused delays downstream, and frustration began to build in the organization. One program manager escalated the issue, implying the engineer was unorganized, careless, or over his head. But before action was taken, a senior director asked a question that changed the entire narrative. has anyone asked him why the deadline slipped? In the follow-up conversation, the engineer revealed that while preparing the update, he noticed irregular behavior in the storage subsystem. To be safe, he began running deeper diagnostics. The results showed a subtle but significant degradation pattern that, if ignored, could have led to cascading failures across multiple global data centers. His missed deadline was actually a deliberate pause to investigate and prevent a massive outage. Once the full story was understood, the engineer was commended, not reprimanded, and the company avoided a potential multi-million dollar disruption. A supervisor later said, "If we had judged him by the missed deadline alone, we would have punished the guy who saved us." Psychologists call giving the benefit of the doubt a positive attribution bias. And the power of attributing positivity to people is pretty immense. When Satya Nadella became CEO of Microsoft in 2014, many argued that the company had a reputation for internal fighting and silos and defensiveness. Teams weren't sharing information. Leaders were guarded. People assumed the worst about other divisions. Nadella sensed that the culture needed a shift, and he began with a simple philosophy: assume good intent. Not long into his tenure, a team made what looked like a costly error in a major product rollout. Some executives pushed for a public reprimand. Nadella did the opposite. He gathered the team, asked what they were trying to accomplish, listened carefully, and said, "I believe you were making the best decision you could with what you knew." That one sentence did something powerful. Engineers later said they felt seen and respected, even in a mistake. Productivity went up, collaboration improved, and the team became one of the most innovative in the company, eventually contributing foundational tech to Azure's cloud growth. And it didn't stop there. Other teams noticed. The culture transformed. Nadella put it simply, "When you assume the best, people give you their best." So, on your team or in your family, how could you give the benefit of the doubt more often? And what would happen if you did? Well, here are a few likely results. First, by giving the benefit of the doubt, you create a buffer against stress. You see, the minute you do it, you lower defensiveness and stress. And this opens the way for emotional safety and helps people feel valued and important. This is, in fact, also shown to allow people to accept your suggestions for improvement more openly. When you give the benefit of the doubt, you build deeper, more loyal relationships. People remember how you interpret them. And if they feel safe to be themselves around you, they trust you more. With a positive attribution bias, you become better at solving problems. Assuming the best of others and having a positive bias towards people and teams and things puts you in a collaborative mindset, not a defensive one. As a result, you ask better questions, you listen longer, you find solutions faster. And here's the thing. When you become a person who consistently gives the benefit of the doubt, your influence goes up dramatically. You see, when people believe you see their effort, not just the outcome, your ability to lead them expands. Every great leader knows people rise to the story they think you believe about them. And I think it's entirely possible to lead a team, have a positive attribution bias, and coach directly about areas that need to be improved. If your manager was coaching you and you felt like she gave you the benefit of the doubt, would you work harder to improve? I think you would, and so would I. Here's what I love the best. When you give the benefit of the doubt, life becomes more peaceful, more generous, and more joyful. Here's the truth. Suspicion invites bitterness. Generosity invites peace. Assuming the best is like turning down the noise in your mind. Suddenly, everything feels lighter. When experts evaluate the emotional intelligence in a person, they're evaluating that person's ability to understand and manage their own emotions, as well as recognizing and understanding the emotions of others. Daniel Goleman writes that research shows EQ, or emotional intelligence, is more important in leadership than capability or knowledge. And one key part of EQ is the ability to see things from the perspective of another person. Growing your ability to give the benefit of the doubt is deeply rooted in your ability to see things from their perspective. When I'm apt to be critical of someone, I've learned to ask myself, given their background or circumstances, would I, in the same circumstances, behave the same way? And usually the answer is yes. This strengthens my compassion. This strengthens my ability to see things from another perspective and give them the benefit of the doubt. In 2019, a middle school principal in Oregon, Principal Carolyn Weiss, kept hearing the teachers talk about a 12-year-old boy who had become increasingly disruptive and disrespectful. He had been arguing with teachers, refusing assignments, and walking out of group work. Several teachers suggested suspension. Instead, Principal Weiss decided to sit down with the boy privately. At first, he barely spoke. Then she asked a question that opened him up. What's the hardest part of your day right now? His eyes filled with tears, and he finally admitted his family had been evicted from their apartment, and they'd been secretly sleeping in their car. His irritability wasn't rebellion, it was exhaustion and hunger and embarrassment. He didn't want classmates to know he had no clean clothes. Within hours, the school arranged access to clean clothing, food support, and transportation, and his behavior improved. A month later, a teacher said, "I would have sworn he was just defiant. I didn't know he was surviving." Research in educational psychology confirms this pattern works that once a student feels understood, disruptive behaviors often dissolve, not because punishment changes them, but because being seen does. So here's a very useful skill to switch from immediate judgment to compassion and perspective taking and to give the benefit of the doubt. Here's how it works. Remember that in almost all settings, we benefit from slowing down our first reaction. This gives you time to evaluate and react in the best way possible. And the way you do this is to ask one question before you assume things. And that one question is, I wonder what their day has been like. I wonder what information I don't have or need. What would be the harm in suspending my response for a period of time? These are the types of questions that could help you in almost every scenario. Now, let's shift gears to giving yourself the benefit of the doubt and not giving in to doubt, but rather to belief. Antonio Macho said, "Under all that we think lives all that we believe." He said, "Belief is the ultimate veil of our spirits." In other words, what we believe makes up who we are. Under every mistake or misfortune lies the belief we hold of ourselves. And like fertile ground in which a seed is planted, that misfortune or anything else in our life can be rooted in our belief of who we really are. And this grounding could allow us to move past those misfortunes and give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. In 2007, a smart young lady named Rachel Smith from Clarksville, Tennessee, won the Miss USA pageant. She had graduated magna cum laude from Belmont University in Nashville. She worked for several years to earn her title as Miss Tennessee and then Miss USA. She arrived in Mexico City on May 1st, 2007, with the other 77 delegates from countries around the world. After competing in the preliminary competition, Smith made the semifinal round along with 14 other women. In the semifinal round, the top 15 women compete in three events in front of the television. Rachel did well in the first two events. Then came the evening gown competition. She and the other contestants prepared every detail. She had practiced her walk hundreds of times. And as she started to walk onto the stage, the worst possible thing happened. She slipped, her legs flew out from under her, and she fell flat on her backside before quickly jumping up and resuming her walk, trying her best to remain as composed as she possibly could, but it was a disaster. Everything she had worked for was gone in a single second. Well, despite her fall, she made it to the top five finalists. The problem was that Miss Mexico, the hometown favorite of everyone in the audience, didn't make it to the top five, and here was Rachel, who had fallen during her walk on stage, who made it instead of Miss Mexico. When she came to participate in the final question and answer event, the local crowd was booing so loud and so long that the judges had to take the mic and ask the audience for some restraint. And to make matters worse, millions of people were watching this on TV. Well, after the crowd was quieted, she was asked a question. And the question was randomly selected by the judges on the spot. No one knew what question she would be asked in advance. And the question was this: if you could go back and relive one moment of your life, What moment would you pick and why? Well, of course, she'd like a do-over in the evening gown competition, right? She'd use humor to joke about her fall or explain how easy it was to fall in high heels and so forth. That wasn't her answer. Without hesitation, she said if she could relive any moment in her life, she would relive her trip to South Africa when she was a volunteer and she got to work with young girls there. She said in her future, she believed that she would dedicate her life to doing good, just like this, over and over again. You see, rather than choose a point in her past when she was disappointed, she focused on her belief, the belief she had in herself and her future. And this defining moment in Rachel's life, how she responded, has been the story that has shaped her life. Instead of her fall being the story that is told, it's her recovery and her belief in herself that is shared over and over again. Our belief window, the view we have of ourselves in the world, can carry us through and beyond the misfortunes that come our way. For example, a person who's made mistakes, yet believes that God is a God of grace and forgiveness, can move past those mistakes. A person who failed to reach a goal, who believes that they're destined to reach that goal no matter what, will see past the temporary loss to who and what they can become. We can give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And the truth is that in your life, you may be down at the moment. You may have lost some time or something, but if you hold on to that belief in yourself and what the future can bring, it can carry you to where you're supposed to go. Because you have more to hold on to than you think. God has given you great gifts, marvelous gifts, and they're waiting for you to believe in them and in Him and in you. This belief can bring you higher than you ever thought possible. So in these times of misfortune and at all times in our life, keep your belief. And the same goes for your teenage children as well. Helping them build and hold belief will see them through times when they need a lot of strength. You know, in the scripture, I've always been impressed with two specific stories. The first is found in the book of Luke. Jesus had been teaching those closest to him, and it was at a time when his teachings were the most intense and personal to those listening. He taught that it is impossible to have two masters. You can't have God as a master and the world as a master. He taught that we must forgive many times, regardless of the misfortunes brought onto us by others. And those listening were deeply impacted by what he said. And when they saw themselves through his eyes, meaning that their belief was weak, they immediately cried out, "Please increase our belief." I've learned that giving the benefit of the doubt often means giving away your doubts. You put them in God's hands. You ask for more belief. He can have those doubts. If you're struggling in your business or with a teenage child or your own weaknesses, give your doubt to God and you yourself ask for more belief. In the book of Mark, there's a story of a father who struggled caring for his son. Then we're not told what the handicap of his son was exactly or what the son's condition may have been. As I watch my daughter and my brother care for children who are autistic or disabled, I see the weariness that sets in on those days when they wonder why and try to believe that there's a purpose in this struggle. It can be so hard to care for a son or daughter when you know that they may be at this developmental level their entire life. And in this time of struggle and difficulty, sometimes it's only belief that you can hold on to. Belief that God is aware, belief that there is life after this in which a beautiful boy they kiss at night who doesn't fully understand will someday fully understand what work and love it took to see him through this mortal life. Well, in this condition, in this very situation that a father has, he brings his son to Jesus. And with his heart full of hope for his son, he asks for his son to be healed. Then the Lord doesn't focus on the son, but rather he focuses on the father. And he says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." To which the father responds, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." Well, the son would indeed be healed, but it was the father's belief that was God's ultimate focus. I don't pretend to know all of God's purposes, but maybe, just maybe, some misfortune may be given to us to strengthen our belief and our belief in Him and to learn how to give ourselves and others the benefit of the doubt. Now, on a much smaller scale, It is estimated that about 0.1% of those in our country will ever run a marathon. A few years ago, I watched two young men, Connor Mance and Clayton Young, best friends who went to school and trained together, take first and second at the Olympic trials. Now, I also ran a few slow marathons in my day, and truth be told, I hated the races. It's such an intense and painful experience. For almost anyone, there's a point in the marathon in which you don't think you can finish. In fact, Connor Mance said about the Olympic trials race, which he won, that several miles before the end of the race, he wasn't sure he could finish. But he said he kept his belief, and he held on to that belief in the miles when things got tough. To you who struggle, keep your belief. God will see you through. Keep your belief. There's more for you waiting. There's peace and joy and triumph waiting. Keep your belief. There's a finish line where you and your team will reach their goals, when sons and daughters rise to their potential, when you can finally say you did your good work. And the belief you hold will be the ground in which seeds of hope grow in times of uncertainty. So give yourself and your dreams the benefit of the doubt. Believe in your dreams. I believe there's a reason you have them. They may be inspired and, as such, need your belief to make them come true. Believe in today, in your ability to take one step forward. Believe you're loved, that you can make a difference, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. Believe that the best is yet to come. Believe in God that knows you and wants the very best for you, and believe in yourself. If you want an amazing experience, take time to write down your beliefs. For example, maybe you'll write, I believe that through hard work and perseverance, I can reach my goals. I believe God loves me. I believe my team can reach their goals. I believe I can change a habit. I believe I can learn how to overcome this misfortune. I believe God has more in store for me, and His blessings await my demonstration of my faith. Whatever your belief statements are, as you write them, you will feel power, real power, enter into your thinking. And as you revisit these beliefs, you will find your ability to keep your belief, your truth, your reality is a reflection of your strongest belief. Now, one last skill in being a person who gives the benefit of the doubt to themselves and others. Lighten up. That's right. Lighten up. Why? Well, for whatever reason, our nature is to worry about what people think. So much so that we often don't try or believe in ourselves because of it. And the truth is, as the famous saying goes, you wouldn't worry about what people think of you if you realized how seldom they did. And it's just not worrying about what people think that robs our belief. We worry about the consequences if we let ourselves down or if we fail. And as one author put it, when fear gets the better of us, we stop seeing the pros and come up with more crazy cons than a hospital for the criminally insane. Then fear makes the crazy kick in. You know, not long ago, I made the decision to lighten up. I was at that time at odds with a few people that I was in business with. One person in particular was working as hard as he could to consistently point out my failings and flaws. And trust me, there's a lot of failings and flaws to focus on. And I found the more he continued, the more anxious I became, and the confidence I had in myself and my work started to go down. But then one day, as I was playing that loop in my mind, you know, the one that plays the injustices and failings over and over again in your brain, that day I decided to lighten up. If this guy wanted to persist in his approach, then it's okay. Not being in business with him was not the end of the world. There are so many beautiful and wonderful things in life and places to work and people to team up with, and I decided to part ways with him. And I reminded myself that I have so many good qualities and I can contribute to my talents in many different places. And in retrospect, it was the best thing that happened to me. I just lightened up. Literally, I reminded myself to lighten up, realize that walking away wasn't the end of the world, and that new doors would open for me. And when I decided this, you'd be surprised at the amount of belief that re-entered my life, all from lightening up. Life is a joy. Life is funny. Life has so many beautiful things waiting for us. But instead of focusing on those, we often let our fears and worries consume our view. And when you lighten up, it's like opening your eyes to a new view of life. Yeah, you didn't meet your diet goals. Lighten up. Smile that you tried, laugh that you aren't the only person who craves ice cream at night, and get back on your exercise program. It's okay. Tomorrow is a lighter, brighter day. When you lighten up, you don't go overboard. You maintain your composure. You smile. You feel better. You don't obsess. You don't catastrophize. You don't make mountains out of molehills. And you don't seek to control someone else's life. You just give yourself space to try again, to laugh, to cry, to learn more, to fail more, experience more, and become more than you ever thought you would. And most of all, you find the power to give others and yourself the benefit of the doubt. So, as we end today, remember that giving the benefit of the doubt turns tension into understanding, turns suspicion into connection, turns judgment into grace, and sometimes it can change the entire trajectory of someone's life. So do this, and you will open your eyes and see people not just as they appear, but as they truly are, a mix of strength and struggle, doing the best they can with the burden they carry. And sometimes giving them one moment of understanding can be the thing that helps them move forward. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.